Hey, what's up, guys? Travis here. And if you've been following me or my story for any length of time, you know that I started a company called Guestio about a year and a half ago now. And one of the things that we are doing this year in 2022 is we're building a concierge program called the Fast Pass that allows you to get booked on top quality shows and platforms for the purpose of spreading awareness for your brand, grabbing attention, growing your credibility, your authority, et cetera, et cetera. And so if you are listening to this right now and you are a seven-figure plus entrepreneur and you have a budget to bring in traffic, attention, credibility, authority to your brand, then this might be a really great program for you. Just head over to travischappell.com/10K. Why 10K? Because we guarantee in this program that you're going to be able to speak in front of 10,000 people within 90 days. Okay, 10,000 people within 90 days. Imagine getting on a stage in front of 10,000 people to share your message, your story. Well, that's exactly what we are doing inside of this program through virtual stages like podcasts or virtual events or YouTube channels or blogs. You name it, we are working with it and we are trying to get you booked on those platforms. So travischappell.com/10x. There's a quick application there. And then right at the end of that application, it'll prompt you to set up a phone call where you'll jump on a call with me and we'll talk through whether or not you're a great fit for this program. Please act fast on this. Do not wait because we are only taking on one or two clients a week due to constraints with our team and the limited supply of high quality shows and platforms that are out there in the market. So if that's you and you're really wanting to explode your brand in 2022, head over to travischappell.com/10K, fill out the application, schedule a quick phone call, and you and I will chat really soon about whether or not this would be a great fit for you. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon. You are listening to the Build Your Network podcast.
If you're tired of the old way of networking, the business cards, the awkward conversations, and the aggressive pitches, but you know how crucial your network is to your success in life, then you're in the right place. Welcome to Build Your Network, the only top-rated show committed to helping you master content networking, foster real relationships, increase your authority, and build the network of your dreams. Listen in on conversations with world-class entrepreneurs, authors, thought leaders, and more as we deconstruct their best strategies for your success. So get ready to burn your business cards, ditch the name tag, and discover the new way to network with your host, Travis Chappell.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Build Your Network podcast. David, thank you so much for joining me on today's show.
Thank you very much, Eric. Looking forward to nerding out on how to become a networking rock star.
You know, that's what we do on this show. And I want to talk really about what you're doing now. You've worked so much in the SaaS space. And, you know, now in 2022 now, which is crazy, everybody's talking about e-commerce and SaaS startups. But you got started two decades ago. So what was the landscape like when you first entered into the world of e-commerce, when you first got into the world of SaaS?
Yeah, I'm old, I guess. You know, and to date me further, actually, my first business was maintaining in-house servers of mid-sized businesses. You know, back then when servers were still in the basement of your office, you know, not somewhere in the cloud. And the background story is one of my customers where I was maintaining the servers and the CRM and stuff like this. He was the biggest manufacturer of Arabic water pipes, you know, like shisha, hookah, nargile, or however you call it. And I guess it's hookah in the US. And he was very annoying and persistent and pushed me every time I was there. Like, hey, I don't know anything about tech, but I want to start an online store. Please help me. Let's do this. And I just really did it to shut him up because he was so annoying. And then this business really took off. And so this is kind of like how I slipped into the e-commerce world and had a really good run, sold the business, which gave me the money to get my investor visa to move to the US. Because, you know, back then in Germany, early 2000s, there was like no tech ecosystem, no other startups. And I was looking, you know, had my eye on California, seeing what's going on there. I was like, oh, this, I want to be part of this. So I sold my business, got the money for my investor visa and moved over to the US and co-founded MaxCDN, which is a content delivery network, which we sold 6 years ago or so. I kind of keep on going, like give you my full story, you know. So, yeah. After we sold the business, my wife wanted to move back to Germany and I couldn't go back to German weather conditions. So we ended up moving to the south of Turkey, which is somewhat close to Germany, but warm. Mm. And I thought I'd just like do early retirement, just like chill, but I got terribly bored. And read a book called Conscious Capitalism, where the idea is, you know, you don't, the whole idea of business is you just make the owners of the business rich, you know, increase shareholders' value. And the conscious way is you do good by all stakeholders, meaning suppliers, customers, employees, the planet, et cetera, yada, yada, yada. And if you do this, then the business is the best vehicle to have a positive impact in the world. And this kind of really resonated with me. And so I wanted to get back into business because I always thought, kind of going a little deeper, my wife went through breast cancer 8 years ago, 9 years ago, knock on wood, she's doing great. But this was like a big wake-up moment for me where I thought like, hey, I imagined myself on my deathbed looking back at my life thinking, did I really do what I was supposed to do? Did I have the impact I want to have? And reflecting on this, you know, I want to do something that has more impact. So after reading this book, I knew I could just go back to doing business, you know, and having a positive impact while doing business. Started an outsourcing business called L3 Plus, where we provide live chat agents and support agents. Then bought another business from my old business partner, which is Task Drive. We do lead research and SDRs, sales development reps, and like a few others, accumulated a few more shortlists, building backlinks. And then I was mentoring the leadership teams of my businesses. I kind of managed myself out of the businesses and just coaching the leadership teams. Mm-hmm. And I was looking for a tool to do this properly, couldn't find one, started building one. And now this is my focus project, which is UpCoach, which is a platform for coaches to make them run their business more efficient and have it scale.
Yeah.
So kind of compressed.
Right. Compressing a lot of time and a lot of experience in that period. I'm curious, you know, getting started, you know, I mean, literally moving countries to pursue this path, working in the e-commerce space, working in software and all these things that, like I said, at the time you got started was not the word of the day. Now, if you open up, you know, you don't even open up a magazine, but if you go to like Entrepreneur or Forbes and you start reading articles, every other article is about how to crush it in the SaaS space or how to do e-commerce. And there's people selling courses. What gave you the foresight then to say like, there's potential and this is not something that's a fad or is going to be something that, you know, is going to be here long-term?
To be honest, everything in my life kind of happens serendipitously. I just kind of do stuff, you know, kind of like drill in, you know, do what's interesting. And then kind of one thing leads to the other. And I meet people that do interesting stuff. And, you know, kind of it's always about seeing how I can provide as much value as humanly possible. Because I think money is a side effect of providing value. If you manage to provide as much value as possible, you'll be the richest person around, kind of like this idea. So everything kind of happened serendipitously, just like following by doing. I'm not too strategic with stuff, you know, it's kind of just stuff happens, I guess, you know.
Right. Yeah, I love that. Money's a side effect of providing value. I was talking to someone just the other day who is sharing that same mindset. You know, they were talking about, you know, I over deliver to everybody, provide value to everybody. You know, he gave examples of people he'd done work for free who he knew couldn't afford to pay them because he knew it would, you know, he knew that giving value out into the world is going to come back to him in some way. You know, is there any way in which you mentioned not having a set strategy, you know, and I think some people do this in a negative way. They just say, oh, I'll work with this person. I can get to this next rung. You know, I'll just build a relationship for no reason just to get here. You know, do you have any intentionality with who you network with or what value you provide?
No, it kind of happens serendipitously. And I kind of, if I intentionally look for people, I kind of look for like, who can I provide the biggest value to? I love integration marketing, kind of like, you know, finding a way where we can create a win-win-win situation. For example, if you have a large user base with your podcasting service, right?
Yeah.
If I have a product that can integrate with you, providing massive value to your audience, kind of making them stick longer or like making them more money or whatever. For example, with MaxCDN, my last business, which was a content delivery network, making websites faster, we integrated with W3 Total Cache, which was a WordPress caching plugin, right? Mm-hmm. And so the idea is he had like a button in there, like, hey, make your site even faster, because people come to his plugin to make their site faster. And then there's like a button like, hey, make your stuff even faster by using MaxCDN. They click on it. It's an easy integration. 5 minutes later, their website is on the CDN. Being faster, you know, customer happy, the owner of the plugin happy because we pay him a commission, and we're happy because we have a new customer. You know, so like this type of thing, like finding ways to really provide value. And also kind of going back to networking, because I guess this is really about networking.
Right.
If I see a new person, you know, I kind of always like wherever it is, like on a flight, at a conference, in an elevator, at a conference, whatever, you know, kind of like I always do my best to figure out how can I provide the most value with whatever tools that I have. And kind of, I'm conscious about like what tools that I have. I'm good with marketing. I'm good with product. I'm good with SEO. I'm good with, you know, I'm especially good with organizational development. And I ask a few questions to see like, where can I hook in to provide value to this person? Right. And then it's like, and I always play the long game. I don't have to get anything back from this person, but kind of seeing how I can, you know, share recommendations, make introductions, you know, or talking about something like I love EOS, the book called Traction, Get a Grip on Your Business by Gina Wickman. For example, sending somebody the book after we talked about this, you know, figuring out their address. They're like, hey, man, it's awesome meeting you. Like,
yeah.
I think this book would really impact your life massively. Or personal development. I'm a total personal development nerd. So helping people on this front. So it's always about providing value. And then somehow, in some odd ways, it always comes back somehow.
Right.
You know?
Right. Absolutely. You know, you providing value is one thing, and actually investing or partnering with someone who's, you know, starting a business is another thing. You know, building that level of trust or putting in a financial skin into the game is a big thing. And like I said, now, you know, SaaS is the word of the day. Like everybody and their mother seems to be starting some kind of SaaS company or just a online company in general. For you now, you know, when you're looking at startups and you're looking at different companies that are starting out on a concept and trying to bring it to market, what are some of the biggest things you're looking for to see if that investment or that company is worth looking into or putting time and money into?
I mean, I think it always comes down to people mainly, like if it's the team that puts it together, you know, how driven are they? What are their capabilities? What previous history do they have? Like, you know, what did they do before?
Yeah.
How they connected? You know, I think this is kind of like where I put the most focus on. But I usually don't invest. I usually kind of like build or, for example, I'm building a new service right now called Uber QA, which is a, you know, software QA service because we used one that we were not happy with. So we fired him and I thought, okay, I hired this person. She's amazing. She's been doing QA for over 15 years. You know, it's like Uber nerd in the space. So I build a business around her because with my other businesses, we have all the capabilities of like, we have a big recruiting team. We have a big training team. So we can hire a lot of people and train a lot of people. And then basically, you know, building this business around her. So I always like to have like, an extreme domain expert where I can build a business around because I can't be an expert in everything. If I dream up whatever the pain point may be of something, somebody, it's really hard. Or with UpCoach, I partnered up with my friend Todd Herman, who's been a coach for over 25 years, like really the OG when it comes to coaching. He wrote a book called The Alter Ego Effect, which is like wildly popular. So partnering up with him on UpCoach, when I reached out to him, he's like, hey man, I built this coaching platform, but I'm not a coach by trade. What do you think about this? And he's like, hey, this solves 90% of my pain points, you know, and but he can like with his expertise we could like really refine it and make it much better. So I like having this in my businesses so I don't have to guess and I really know what the pain points are.
Right. Know? Right. That's yeah. No, and I love you keep bringing it back to networking because it really is, you know, bringing in somebody who has the expertise in an area is super, super helpful, you know. And you know, when you're sitting there and you have that initial idea, how quickly are you bringing someone in to see if this is a need? Like are you building anything before asking?
Usually I scratch my own itch. That's like what I prefer doing, you know, like because I see there's a pain point. I have a rough idea how I can solve this pain point, and then this is kind of like what I'm focusing on.
Right, right. You know? Yeah, no, that's super interesting. And I'm curious for people who are listening who haven't stepped into this world at all, and maybe they feel this pain point, or they think they have a great idea for something, or they feel like there's a pain point that they're experiencing and they'd like to solve, what step would you recommend they take? You know, do you recommend them reaching out to a developer? Do you recommend them asking around to see if other people are experiencing it? What's step one?
So number one thing is you have to understand the jungle. And if you don't have the domain expert, if you want to become the domain expert, there's this cool story of the American general that fought the Vietnamese. Like 10 years later, the US president went over to Vietnam and kind of meet with the president and the general that fought this other general. They met and the American general said like, hey, dude, like how the heck could you beat us? You know, we had like way more advanced weapons, way more money, way more people like, We should have just crushed you, but you ate us for lunch. Like, how in the world did this happen? And the Vietnamese general said, like, we understand the jungle better. So you want to understand the jungle. And I have, like, this document, which I call Understanding the Jungle, where I kind of, like, you know, have, like, a bunch of questions on, like, the current state of somebody. I did this in it extensively for coaches while building UpCoach, even though Todd came on board, but I also want to understand and get my, you know, wrap my head around this. So what they're currently using, you know, for us, it was like the delivery, the payment, the scheduling. I kind of breaking it down by all these areas. And what they're currently using, understand like where they're at, what's like metrics that they measure themselves success on. Then kind of getting an idea of the current state. Then I show what we have built or what we have mocked up. And then based on this, like I ask them a few questions like, hey, what would you add? What do you subtract? What's really necessary? What's not? And kind of like, you know, get a really good understanding on what is needed, you know. And you can, a friend of mine, he runs WP Engine. He, when he built WP Engine, he reached out to, I think like 80 some thought leaders in the WordPress space and said like, hey guys, I'm building this WordPress hosting thing. I would love to jump on a call with you to get your insights. You know, I'm happy to pay your hourly fee or whatever.
Yeah.
But I really want to understand, like, to build something amazing. And I think he, like, pretty much everybody agreed to jump on the call and nobody charged him. Mm. You know, and if you do this, then you also have, like, the, like, early users, early adopters, and also influencers that, you know, when you keep them in the loop, like, okay, thank you for the input. Now we actually did this and blah. If you keep them in the loop, once you launch, you have, like, advocates that can push it out and have a massive impact. So go this route, share your idea, talk it through with people. Don't be, sometimes people come to me like, hey, you're in technology, you build startups, right? Like, I have this amazing idea, but you have to write an sign an NDA to, they can talk to you. It's like, dude, like, fuck off, you know, like, just get lost.
That's such a radically different view than so many people have, because so many people are, and we've talked about this, and some people look at us like we're crazy, but when it comes to like being very secretive and sign this and sign an NDA and, you know, go through all this paperwork just to take a look at the idea. Why is that not something someone should be focused on? Because that some people give that advice, like make sure they sign an NDA, make sure that you do this. Why that response to it?
Oh, because it's just dumb. You know, ideas are a dime a dozen, you know, like it's all about in the execution.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of, it's, you know, having ideas like one thing, but like really executing this, you have to be excellent, like kind of every day getting up. Mm-hmm. You know, at, you know, grinding on this thing. And yeah, it's all the having a good idea is like one thing, but then the execution is the multiplier on like how good this actually becomes. Yeah. So
look, that we've circled this a ton without saying it, you know, at networking, you know, we talk about how important that is. You know, I'm just going to pose the question to you now. We can kind of talk from here. Do you believe that who you know or what you know is more important and why?
Oh, it's for sure who you know, because like these people are amplifiers. And, you know, if you build a business, I want to know somebody who's like much better than me in terms of product. You know, for example, I'm talking to somebody to hire a head of product for UpCoach right now. I don't have to be the best at product. Screw that. You know, I just kind of have to. And also, you know, I used to be a Linux system and network engineer almost in a past life. But I just know enough that people can bullshit me. Mm-hmm. But I just need to understand and kind of like wrap my head around this. And, mm-hmm. you know, if somebody's like bullshitting or not, but then I want to hire the best people. I want to work with the best people. I want to be connected with the best people or connected with people that have massive accesses. You know, I'm such a fan of integration marketing. So partnering up with somebody who has like millions of users that could, you know, for example, with WP Total Cash, can then integrate us, you know, and promote us is like worth way more than like, you know, I don't care. I can be dumb and just a good network and find the right people to do all that stuff. You know, so like definitely on the who you know. Yeah. I mean, also who you know, and these people have to like you. You have to provide value to these people. You know, so like just no one like, oh yeah, this idiot again that like knocks on my door. You know, so it has to be
exactly. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you need to have enough of an understanding of the quote unquote jungle to be dangerous. But then you're hiring someone who lives in the jungle to tell you how to actually take it to the next level.
Yes, because this is how you scale. And I'm also managing myself. You know, I have more than a handful of businesses. I'm always, and I'm an organization development nerd. So I always like manage myself out of the business so I can work on the business, not in the business. Because this is when you can actually really scale. If you're just kind of like, you know, deep in the gear and you just like crank the thing yourself, then it doesn't work. You have to kind of, if you want to scale, you have to remove yourself as much as possible from the business so you can work on it, not in it.
Was this something that you learned the hard way, where you know, tried to master something and build a business initially and then realized, okay, I can't do this, I need to bring someone in? Or did you do this from day one?
I kind of did it from day one, but the real aha moment was when we sold MaxCDN, and it was bought by the person who was the CEO of SoftLayer, who sold to IBM for like $2.4 billion. And this was like 10 plus years ago, so it was like a really big deal. Now, billion-dollar valuation is like kind of happening. You know, we read about it all the time, but like back then it was like, holy cow.
Yeah.
And when I was the CMO of the business of StackPath that bought MaxCDN, and while putting together the brand, I always put Lance, the CEO, into meetings. They're like, hey, man, you know, this is what we're doing. This is what I'm thinking. And blah, kind of getting his input. And after the third meeting where he just like sat through and said that at the end, like, yeah, it's great, and left, you know, I pulled him aside. Like, dude, like, am I fucking up? Or like, yeah, sorry for question, but is this like, you know, don't you care? Or like, what's going on? You know, you just like say it's cool and you know. He said, like, yeah, me as a CEO, I only have to do three things. I have to make sure there's enough money. So I have to fundraise and make sure enough money is coming in. Mm. I have to preach the mission and the vision of the company like a parrot to the inside world and to the outside world, like, you know, like to your team and also to the market. And I have to hire people in the key positions that are much smarter than me in this area and leave them alone, just manage them by KPIs. And just like, you know, because before, like, my business partners and I at Maxine, we always like stir the pot everywhere, jumping in, like, you know, confusing people. And if you do this, then people also don't really own an area because, like, you know, like, daddy's going to come and fix it or whatever. Like, oh, it's not really fully responsible. The responsibility is on me. I think, like, in terms of properly delegating, you have to kind of really allow your team members to really have deep ownership of things, because then they fully use their mental capacities and just like behave differently versus if you're kind of always like half in, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned, like, you know, not jumping in and you know, taking control over every area, but also preaching the vision out, you know, loudly, you know, to the inside and the outside. Where do you draw that line between, you know, casting vision, but also giving ownership to your team? So where, you know, you've got your broad vision for the company, but then you've got your team member, you know, in full control over their sphere.
I mean, the stuff that they're doing in their sphere has to be 1000% aligned with the overall company mission and vision. You know, kind of like, who are we doing this for? Where do you want to go? And, you know, how we're going to get there? Like, this has to be in line. And also our core values have to be really in line, that everybody can use this as a decision-making thing. So, cool example, a friend of mine, he started Ring.com. You know, it was sold to Amazon for like a lot of money. And I talked to his head of engineering. We're nerding out on mission, vision, values. And he brought up a perfect example. He said, we have these floodlights that you put on the side of the house. You know, the Ring floodlights. Mm-hmm. And then when somebody walks past, the lights go on, you see them on your phone, say like, hey, what are you doing on my property? You get lost, or I call the cops, right? This type of thing. And one of his engineers came to him and said, like, hey, man, I have this amazing idea, best feature idea ever. We create the party mode, because these floodlights have lights and they have a microphone. So if we turn on party mode, the lights flash with the music, right? I thought, best idea ever. And he could have told this engineer, like, dude, that's a stupid idea. Just like, go back to your desk. And then this guy would have been crushed, and he would have never, you know, brought up ideas again, potentially. But he said, that's cool, but what does this have to do with our mission, which is to make neighborhoods safer? Mm-hmm. And the guy went like, yeah, you're right. And if you really hammer the mission values into people's heads, then they will all make decisions the same way you would make the decisions. Wow. All the way down. It's going to trickle down, kind of like an anthill where everybody knows. Mm-hmm. Or like a fish swarm, right? Just like, you know, it's a predator comes and they just kind of move out. Yeah. You know?
No, that's super helpful. Well, you've talked about being a networking nerd, but before we hit record, you were saying that wasn't always the case. You know, there was a long time you were scared of the idea of networking, getting on conference calls, talking with people. You know, for people who are listening, which is probably a lot who are listening to the show, who say, I've got great business ideas, I'm good at what I do, but the idea of networking with someone terrifies me. I'm a total introvert. What tips or advice would you give to them as they kind of try to develop this crucial skill?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you the story how I overcame this. I call myself a recovering introvert because, you know, so I told you before, you know, I was even uncomfortable on conference calls, which is kind of ridiculous looking back now, but, you know, it was the case. And I saw a friend of mine when I went to a conference who was crushing it with networking. He had so much fun. He made crazy connections. He, you know, so he had like amazing fun, and it was really benefiting his business in a massive way. And so I thought, okay, I want this. How do I get to this point to get this? So I went to Toastmasters, which is like public speaking training thingy. Yeah. It's like they're everywhere. If you go to Toastmasters.org, you'll find one. It's actually kind of fun. And you meet cool people who are also driven. It's another networking thing, right? You meet cool people who are driven to learn and grow.
Yeah.
So this helped me. And I went there twice a week. And I went to two networking events in LA per week and just like talked to everybody and their mom until I kind of like exposure therapy style, I just like overcame this introvertness, right?
Yeah.
Or this fear, this insecurity. But the real switch in my head was flipped when my yoga teacher said, every decision in life you make out of love or out of fear. And this may sound super hippie and think like, what does this have to do in a business podcast? But hear me out. If, for example, I also hated sales with a passion, you know, like I was like, felt like a used car salesman, you know, shoving something down somebody else's throat. But if I want to sell you something and I think this can really help you in your life or in your business, I can be a pushy salesman. It's like, Eric, freaking buy this, is going to be really good for you. Because then I'm acting out of love versus acting out of fear. You know, I just do this because I have to hit my numbers. I have to pay my mortgage. You know, if this is the motivator for me to do something, then it feels terrible. And also you on the other side feel where I'm coming from and you're less likely to buy. So love, not fear, is like became my absolute mantra also in terms of networking or public speaking. Let's talk about public speaking first. I would have preferred to shoot myself in the face with a smile versus speaking in front of 1,000 people, right? It's like, screw that. Because I always was full of fear, thinking, oh, do they think I have a weird German accent? Do they think what I'm saying is stupid? Do they think I look weird? Whatever, right? Or being a podcast, would have never happened. Because I was always full of fear. It was about me, not about the others. So if I go into the, you know, mindset of love, what I have to share here can help people to network better, you know? And then it's about them, not about me. And then it's just flowing. I can present because, you know, everything just, it just works way better. Or meeting people, before I always thought, like, you know, talking to somebody next to me on the plane, like, you know, they probably don't want to talk. They want to, you know, if I ask them something, that's going to be, you know. But now I think, like, oh, there's this new human being that I can provide value to. Let's talk to them, find a few, you know, ask a few questions.
Yeah.
Find where I can, like, hook in to provide value. And then this is how you know, it works amazingly well when you get into this mindset of like, hey, I'm just here to provide value to other people.
It's super simple. Yeah, no, I relate so much to that. And I'm sure you've learned by now, having an accent with Americans is so helpful because anything you say sounds super smart. When we hear somebody come in with an accent, they're speaking from stage, you're like, they know, they understand something that I don't. So it's kind of a hack or cheat code for a little bit of extra credibility. Sometimes I've actually joked with Travis, who co-hosts sometimes. I've told him, I was like, man, I wish I had like a nice British accent, you know, because then we could do all these tutorial videos. It would sound amazing. But no, I relate to you. And I love that you mentioned that idea of exposure therapy and just getting out and doing it, because I relate. When you said you'd rather shoot yourself with a smile, like, that is exactly how I felt. Someone was asking me, you know, because I work with three different podcasts. I'm on mics all day long. And they're like, oh, I wish I could do that. You know, I hate the sound of my voice. I get scared getting behind a microphone. And I always tell them, you know, 2 years before I launched my first podcast, I worked in a marketing, you know, it was video marketing. So I had to do a video talking about my department. So the video guy doing a video about video. And I went in at 11:30 at night when everybody had left. There was no chance anyone was going to be in the office. I hit record on the camera. I stepped on my mark and I felt like I was going to burst into tears because looking down the lens, knowing people were going to watch what I was doing was terrifying. And, you know, literally now the reason I'm able to do it is because I've done it hundreds of times. Like, I've gotten behind a microphone hundreds and hundreds of times and now it's not scary anymore. Like, it's completely eradicated that fear. And I don't mind the sound of my own voice now. So only other people have to worry about that from here on out. But that's super helpful. And that's super encouraging, I think, for those who, like me or like you years back, are feeling that hesitation of going out and doing this, because it is such a crucial skill to develop, to build a network like that. So thanks for sharing that. Yeah, but I'm gonna wrap us up here with a quick random round. We like to get some quick questions with some quick answers. First off, I got to know, you know, with networking being so key, can you think back to a time where, you know, a relationship completely changed the course of your business or of your trajectory in life? If you could name just one.
In relation to networking?
Yeah.
I mean, for example, I met Todd Herman, my business partner in UpCulture, I met him at a networking dinner that a friend of mine, Eric Su, was hosting at Traffic and Conversion Summit. By the way, hosting dinners is the best thing since sliced bread. Like when you go to a conference, just like wherever, just invite thought leaders, invite people in the space, like 10 people. It's the best networking ever. But and you just like pick up the bill. It's the best investment you can do. But anyhow, so I met Todd at this. He was sitting next to me, and we chatted, had a good time. And then a year later, I had built UpCulture, and I want to reach out to him because he was like the best well-known coach that I knew in my Rolodex. I didn't know him well. We just met once. And I thought I don't want to reach out. I'm going to feel like kind of like acting out of fear. Like it's going to like act like a sleazy sales pitch. I don't want to do that. But then he shared something. He does a lot of group coaching. This is kind of really what I on Facebook. This is really what I built it for. And I thought whatever. And just record the video showing him like, hey, man, we met there. I built this thingy. I showed him and just sent him a Loom video. And he responds with like, I want to invest. I want to be a business partner. So it's like power of networking.
What profession other than your own do you think it would be fun to attempt?
I went to 14 different schools. I got kicked out a lot and I was pretty lost. Didn't know what to do. So I went to the Arbeitsamt in Germany, which is like where the job center, where they list like all possible jobs. I read through all of them. I thought this is all horrible. I don't want to do any of this. So I was really lost. Didn't know what to do. And then a friend of mine asked me like, hey man, you go for computers. How about we start a business together?
Mm.
And then I found entrepreneurship was like, it's like I found my thing. So I cannot see myself doing anything other than being an entrepreneur.
Gotcha. If you could sit on a park bench with anybody past or present and talk to them for an hour, who would it be and why?
I lost my dad when I was 12, so it would be kind of cool to chat with him. I'm a big fan of Napoleon Hill. Yeah, it's like a bunch of, not sure. I haven't really thought about this much, but I think my dad, Napoleon Hill, come to mind first probably.
How do you like to learn best? Is it books, blogs, podcasts, videos? What's your favorite way to learn?
Audible. I consume a lot of, I think I have 298 books in my Audible completed. Mm. This year won't be 300, but next year when I get to 300. And I listen to them on 2x the speed most of the time. And I'm a very audible learner. It's like gets into my head really well. And I can do this while jogging or walking the dogs. So it's like definitely my go-to to consume.
Gotcha. Do you have a favorite this year that you've checked out?
A favorite what?
A favorite? Do you have a favorite book that you've listened to this year?
Kind of re-listened to a bunch of books. One is Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. It's like very impactful in my life. And then The Four Agreements, also a really impactful book.
Gotcha.
And kind of these two, if you haven't consumed them. And Traction, Get a Grip on Your Business. Yeah. If you're in business, you really want to consume this one.
Give me a glimpse of your morning routine.
I'm a total habits nerd. I believe that habits determine everything in your life. If you're rich, poor, happy, unhappy, obese, or in shape, it all boils down to which habits you cultivate. So my morning routine is, starts with my evening routine. I prep the next day, kind of like minutiously, like what's my frog? What's the task I really don't want to do, which I procrastinate on? I'll do this one first. What's my focus task? And just kind of going through my to-do planning. Then in the morning, 5:30, I get up, I do my yoga. I at 6 a.m. three times a week, my personal trainer comes to my house. And the other days, I go for a run. And then I walk the dogs and bring my daughter to school. So that's kind of my morning routine.
I know you mentioned you listen to Audible all the time, but do you have a go-to pump-up song that gets you moving in the morning or that you put on when you need some motivation?
I listen to Brain FM. Okay. To get focused. It helps me tremendously to, like binaural beats or whatever it's called, like kind of gets me into the zone to just work. Right. And for working out, I don't know the name. It's on my playlist, some drum bass song that kind of, if I want to like get like really fast running times, I listen to the song and I'm always fast.
But you switch your ring light to party mode and you've got that flashing in the background. What's something you're not very good at?
Can it be a long answer?
Sure.
I have a condition. I just found out like a little under a year ago that I have a condition called aphantasia,
okay,
which I cannot create images in my head. So when I close my eyes and I think of an apple, I see nothing. And I also cannot create or recreate sound, taste, smells, or emotions. So I cannot, basically, I'm always very much in the present. So And a negative side effect of this is, I sound so bad, but I do not feel empathy. I have a logical empathy. I deeply care about people, but I don't feel it. And like before I was aware of this, you know, when you tell me that you're going through a tough time, I may have been just like still smiling at you, you know, not being like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. And just cut logically, okay, you could do this and this and this and this to get out of this position. Gotcha. But, you know, just everything in my head is logic based, not like very few emotions. I'm a friendly sociopath, I guess.
I could talk about this forever because it's very interesting. Was this something you noticed? Because like, I'm always curious about things like this. You know, it's like when someone's colorblind, you know, and they don't realize it because they've never seen it.
I had no idea.
How did it come up? How did you find out?
You know, when my father died, I was 12. It took me like a few hours to get over it. You know, it was like logical. It's nobody's fault. He died of cancer. It's nobody's fault. It's nothing I can do. It is what it is. I just move on. And so I knew something was very different with me from other people.
Yeah.
But like I talked to my business partner, who's the CTO at UpCoach, and he's like an amazing artist. He draws like super crazy stuff, and he also composes music, aside from being a very gifted engineer. Mm-hmm. And he said like, hey man, I have so many images in my head that I see that I want to draw, and I hear so many sounds in my head that I want to compose. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, because like I...
You're like, this guy's crazy.
Yeah. And then while talking to him, I Googled it, and I found this thing called aphantasia, which is a closed mind's eye, you know, so... And, really? Yeah. Also, like, you know, people having such a hard time with meditation. For me, it's just like I close my eyes and then it's dark. There's nothing, you know, so it's.
Yeah, that's super interesting. Kind of
quite mind-blowing. For like counting sheep when you want to fall asleep was like the dumbest thing for me ever because I just lay there and count. You know,
That's really funny. That's interesting. What man, it's weird closing out here because I have a billion questions about this. But what is one place online where people can connect with you the most? What's the best way for someone to connect if they want to follow your journey?
Just probably Twitter or Instagram. Instagram probably I'm the most active on. But also, you know, I'm all the social networks, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. I'm please connect. But let me know that you heard me on Eric's podcast because otherwise I get like so many random requests and then I may not accept them, but I'll definitely chat with you if you mention that you come from Eric.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the show and for giving such great insights. I really appreciate it. And thank you everybody who's listened to the episode. Be sure to head to the link in the show notes, connect with David over there, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Rule. Thanks for having me, Eric.
That's it for this episode. If you want to connect with Travis and other like-minded people who also listen to the show, then you're going to want to head over to travischappell.com/group to join his free Facebook group, Podcast to Profit. Travis will see you there. And remember to leave every relationship better than you found it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.